A name, a cell phone ringtone, even a curse can mean the difference between life and death in Baghdad these days. Fearful of Shia death squads, some Sunni Muslims in Iraq are paying very close attention to anything that might give away their religious identity. Sunnis have even started a website offering practical tips on how to act like a Shia. For more, we turn to James Hyder, the London Times correspondent in Baghdad. He joins us from NPR studio there. Nice to speak with you.
Good evening.
The website recommends learning the names of the 12 Shia imams and praying like a Shia, even cursing like a Shia. As I understand it from your article, when these sorts of things were first suggested, a lot of Sunnis thought it was a joke. They don't think that way any longer.
Yes, Sunnis we spoke to have started revising as homework the names of the 12 Shia imams. The reason is that if they're driving across Baghdad, they can run into death squads dressed up as policemen who run checkpoints, who will check their papers. Sometimes they will raid people's homes, and they will ask who's Sunni and who's Shia. And there have been examples of people being killed because they can't name the 12 imams, or if they're carrying signs they're Sunnis, if they've got a very distinctive Sunni name like Omar or Othman on their identity cards. So a lot of people at first thought this was a joke, and they approached it as a joke. But now they're taking it very seriously because they realize that this could be the difference between life and death. And it's not a particularly easy task for them. It's not just a question of learning the names of the imams, of learning the prayers. You have to be able to snap them out very quickly because lots of Shias grow up, and this is indoctrinated into them at a very young age. So they can name the 12 imams, all of whom have several different nicknames. You have to know where they prayed, where they're buried, who their followers were. So it's actually quite a complicated task that lots of Sunnis are actually putting a lot of effort into learning now to avoid falling foul of the death squads.
And I also understand that the fake ID industry is a booming business in Baghdad.
Yes, lots of people carry fake IDs, including some Western reporters who dye their hair black and their eyebrows and even get fake tans to avoid so they can travel around more easily. But there is a large forging industry. It's been flourishing since the U.S. and British invasion 3 years ago. It's been cracked down in some areas by militias who think that foreign terrorists might be using this to get IDs. But it's almost impossible to stamp out. And obviously the quality of ID cards in Baghdad isn't particularly high. It's quite easy to forge them. Mm. People forge passports, ID cards. And a lot of Sunnis are asking for IDs with a Shia name, with the place of birth in somewhere like Hilla or Najaf, the Shia towns to the south. Because when you go through a checkpoint, you're never quite sure if it's a real checkpoint, if it's a Shia death squad dressed up as policemen, if it's policemen who are actually part of a Shia militia but are still policemen. So you have to show your papers when you go through these checkpoints, and people have been dragged out of their cars on occasion because they had the wrong surname.
For people who've never experienced it, checkpoint is one of the very ugliest words in the English language, is it not?
Yeah, it's... there are checkpoints all across Baghdad now, and the danger is that nobody really knows who's who. The lines are so blurred now, you're not sure if it's policemen who are part of the Mahdi army, which is the militia that's loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr, who's a radical anti-coalition cleric. It may even be Sunnis who are running the checkpoints. In Sunni parts of town, they sometimes run checkpoints, and they grab Shias. So sometimes people carry two IDs, and they try and work out who's running the checkpoint before they pull out their IDs, and they have IDs hidden in their cars. I know people who have two IDs, or they carry their father's birth certificate that says, you know, they were born in Najaf and therefore they're Shia. Mm-hmm. On one occasion, an Iraqi friend of mine phoned me late at night, and he said that there were cars driving around his area after the curfew. And several cars, he decided they must be a death squad, so all his neighbors were phoning each other, trying to work out if it was Sunnis or Shias. He can pass off as a Shia. His brother-in-law is a Sunni. He's got a very Sunni surname. So they worked out that whoever answered the door, they would try and work out who was actually in the death squad, if they were Sunnis or Shias. And whichever one it was, they would answer the door. If it was Sunnis, his brother-in-law would answer. If they were Shias, he would answer. And whoever didn't answer the door would go and hide in the dog kennel on the roof.
So this could be a problem if you are a Sunni and you've installed a Shia song as the ringtone on your cell phone. If it goes off at the wrong time, are you in serious trouble?
You can be. I mean, it's so difficult in Baghdad to know who is doing what to whom. So they take that risk. At the moment, the fear amongst Sunnis are that it's mostly Shias who are in the security forces. There's Shias in the police commandos, there's Shias in the army. So they are the ones who can travel around most freely, and they are the ones being blamed for most of the death squads. The Mahdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr is seen as being the most culpable in this respect. So people think it's safer, on the whole, to have a Shia identity card and to be able to name the 12 imams. We heard of a case of a company that was raided by men dressed up as police commandos. And there were two guards at the company. The police commandos asked them to name the imams. One of them couldn't. It was clear he wasn't a Shia, so they killed him. So people in general think it's safer to have a Shia ID as a backup. If they're clearly Sunni guerrillas, then you can say, okay, I'm a Sunni, but it's best to have a backup just in case.
Well, James Hyder, I understand this is your last night in Baghdad after a considerably long tour, rotating out at least for a little while. Congratulations, and we hope you'll be able to use one or the other of your IDs to get out of Baghdad.
Thank you.
James Hyder is the London Times correspondent in Baghdad. He joined us from NPR's studio there. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.